Well, the Black Brigade of Cincinnati, it's one of the best kept secrets, I think, of our treasures of local history. There was a situation in 1862, in the midst of the Civil War, when Cincinnati was coming under attack. And so Mayor George Hatch called for the defense of Cincinnati, and all men were asked to go and enlist. And so white men had no problem doing that because they were called to go to their polling places. But black men who had been discouraged from helping in home defense were waiting for further directions. And some overzealous provost guards, who felt like they wanted to exercise some of their racist tendencies, kidnapped over 400 black men out of their homes, fairly brutalized and dragged them to a mule pen across from City Hall, where they detained them until they marched them across the Ohio River on pontoon bridges and forced them into hard labor on the other side of the river. There was an individual who we believe now is heroic, and we're telling his story for the first time. His name is Judge William Dixon, who read about this in his morning paper the next day. This would have been September 3rd, 1862. And he felt that this was wrong. He was active among the abolitionists of Cincinnati and also a strong leader in the Republican Party. And he went to an editor of a newspaper and said, "What can be done about this?" And the editor said, "Go talk to General Lew Wallace." And so Judge Dixon went straight away and asked what could be done, and the general who wanted no more trouble appointed him colonel and said, "Go fix it." So he went directly down to Fort Mitchell, where these black men were working on fortifications, digging and building roads, and said, "Okay, everybody follow me. We're going back home to Cincinnati." And so they did, and once they were on the other side of the Ohio River and ready to be dismissed, he said, "Now, any of you who would like to come tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and volunteer of your own free will to help defend your homes, come and meet me, and we will go." And the next morning at 5 a.m., 700 men showed up, so 300 more than those that had been kidnapped and impressed. So those men were then named the Black Brigade by Colonel Dixon and his captain, James Lupton. They were given their own flag. They were marched back down to the Northern Kentucky batteries that were being built. There was 8 miles of fortifications built in the space of 10 days by about 8,000 men. And the Black Brigade were 700 of the hardest working men to create those fortifications. On the 11th of September, the Confederates, 8,000 Confederates who had marched up the Lexington Road, saw these fortifications, saw 70,000 defenders peering out over the top of them, and decided that they had best not try to attack.
Did the Black Brigade see any action in the war?
They did not. They were there for helping to build the fortifications. They were not armed. Very few, actually. There were only 20,000 out of those 70,000 men who were actually militia and who were armed. There were about 17,000 who were called from all over the counties of Ohio by Governor David Todd, asked everybody to come to Cincinnati to help defend Cincinnati. And about, those men brought whatever they had, and a lot of them had guns that probably wouldn't have fired very well anyway if they'd had to fire them, but there wasn't a single shot fired.
I'm talking to Jan Brown Checo, who's the art administrator of the Black Brigade Monument that's going to go up in Cincinnati's new Riverfront Park, and we're going to talk about that aspect in just a minute. But the black men who were in this brigade, had an attack taken place, and had they been, say, captured, would they face possible return to or initiation into slavery if the Confederates had captured them?
Well, that's the thing that was so terrifying to them, because the fact that they were pretty much kidnapped and dragged back across the Ohio River, that meant that they were into jeopardy of their emancipation, their feeling free. Of course, this was before the Emancipation Proclamation, but an interesting fact that Judge Dixon had been going regularly to Washington, D.C. to help Abraham Lincoln work on the drafting of the Emancipation Proclamation is another really nice tie-in of his personality to the positive dynamic of that period. So, yeah, there was a terrible fear of that. You can imagine the wives, mothers, and children of these black men who had been taken away in the night to places that they didn't know where they were when they were coming back. It was completely horrifying.
Are any of their descendants living in Cincinnati today?
we are looking for those people, and actually we are counting on some terrific support from people who have been checking genealogy about this story through the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center, and also some of the trades of the members of the Black Brigade have been identified by people who are working on those stories. Definitely for the dedication of the monument in April of 2011, we will be looking to invite everyone that we can find, and we will search for them any way that we can to come and celebrate this monument.
So who is doing the monument, and what's it going to look like?
The monument is really beautifully integrated into the earthwork of the new Cincinnati Riverfront Park, and the monument is taking the form of a fortification that might have been built by the people who were helping to defend Cincinnati. It has a chevron shape that has a point that looks out across the Ohio River, just upriver from the suspension bridge, which, interestingly enough, is exactly the location of the pontoon bridge that was installed very quickly. I think it was just in 30 hours, the very first crossing, walk-across crossing of the Ohio River at this place. Would have been where the men walked across the Ohio River twice. The story is going to be told in text and in high relief images and engraved images that some of them are being sculpted by two local artists. We have two wonderful local artists. One is John Hebenstreet, the other is Carolyn Monto. Our graphic designer is Eric Brown. And our creative writer is an instructor, our professor at Xavier University. His name is Tyrone Williams. And so we have a core of creative talent that is of our region that is working together to tell this story. I've worked on the conceptual design, and we have Alistair McIntosh of Sasaki. Sasaki is a design firm out of Boston that is designing the rest of Cincinnati Riverfront Park. So he is our synapse to the rest of the development of the entire parkscape, making sure that the monument is beautifully integrated into the eastern tree grove.